This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a off the field right now, out, he's fired. He's fired!
President Trump sent shockwaves through the sports arena, forcing many players to either take a knee or stand in solidarity.
So Florida has a lot at stake in this CHIP discussion because Florida has one of the largest CHIP programs in the country.
The budget battles in Congress leaves Florida's health insurance for children in jeopardy. It might actually run out.
I think Irma is evidence otherwise.
Is Florida in a state of denial, or is it a state of denial when it comes to climate change?
You know, the key thing about climate change is you can't hide from it. You may be able to hide from it for a while, but you can't hide from things like Harvey and Irma.
All that and more coming up on episode 122 of The Rotunda. Welcome to the program. So on our last episode, we talked about storm surge and the crisis at nursing homes where 11 residents died in the sweltering heat. I interviewed Florida's former long-term care ombudsman, Brian Lee, and he had this to say about the profitable nursing home industry.
There needs to be a promise made to elders now that they're going to do something to make this better for residents and not listen to the squawking by the industry that's going to say that, you know, generators are going to cost too much money and we can't afford this. That's bogus. That's garbage. The industry is flush with cash.
Well, as it turns out, the squawking has begun, leaving Governor Rick Scott in an awkward position. How so? Well, Scott is a Republican and he's all about deregulation. But with the tragic nursing home deaths, Scott decided to put in place an emergency rule giving nursing homes 60 days to get generators capable of providing power in their facilities for up to 4 days. Keep in mind, gas stations are required to have generators.
Not listen to the squawking by the industry that's going to say that, you know, generators are going to cost too much money. And
as expected, the industry say they can't. According to the Orlando Sentinel, they claim it's pricey, a multi-million dollar price tag, and they can't possibly do it in such a short amount of time. They claim it's practically impossible to purchase, install, and get permits for generators and fuel supplies in place by November. Surprisingly, the Scott administration isn't backing down, maintaining the order for compliance by deadline.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a off the field right now, out, he's fired. He's fired!
So President Trump is at it again, stirring controversy in the most unlikely places. Of all the real enemies, major problems, and persons who pose actual threats to the United States and its people, Trump's natural instincts falls on excluding them from his harshest criticism. But he wouldn't hesitate on unleashing a war of words on people like former NFL player Colin Kaepernick with his peaceful protests against police brutality, or NBA star Steph Curry over his decision to not attend the White House.
Some owner's gonna do that. He's gonna say, that guy that disrespects our flag, he's fired. And that owner, they don't know it. They don't know. They're friends of mine, many of them. They don't know. They'll be the most popular person for a week. They'll be the most popular person in this country because that's a total disrespect of our heritage. That's a total disrespect of everything that we stand for, okay? Everything that we stand for.
There was a major backlash to Trump's statement. Owners, players, and coaches rallied together to rebuke Trump's comments, including NBA star LeBron James.
You look at him kind of asking, you know, the NFL owners to get rid of players off the field because they're, you know, exercising their rights, and that's not right. And then, you know, when I wake up, I see that, you know, a colleague of mine has been uninvited of something that he said he didn't even want to go to in the first place, you know, to the White House. You know, that's just something I can't stand for, man.
Trump even instructed supporters on how to treat, quote, those people.
When people like yourselves turn on television and you see those people taking the knee when they're playing our great national anthem, the only thing you could do better is if you see it, even if it's one player, leave the stadium. I guarantee things will stop. Things will stop. Just pick up and leave. Pick up and leave. Not the same game anymore, anyway.
So for those who've criticized players from bringing politics into sports, well, President Trump has now opened the door wide open as players across many teams are choosing to express themselves more so beyond just playing sports. It's all part of the game of politics. But hasn't it always been? At least for a long time now. Coming up, Florida is still recovering and trying to rebuild after Hurricane Irma. But shouldn't we be rebuilding stronger, smarter, better?
You know, it's to build homes to meet storm standards. That's obviously critical.
Plus, the fight in Washington means Florida's children's health coverage is in jeopardy.
Remember, CHIP funding is running out on September 30th, so the clock is ticking.
Stay tuned. This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, bringing you stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. Each week, this program is supported by listeners like you. If you're already a subscriber, thank you for your support. If you're new, welcome. Make yourself at home and visit rotundapodcast.com. Follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, at Rotunda Podcast, and Facebook. Oh, and check out where you can easily hit the donate button. We welcome your generous financial contributions along with your tips and story ideas. So here's a question. Is Florida in continued denial that leaves the state at risk from the negative effects of climate change?
You can sort of for a while say, well, I don't believe it, but the evidence is becoming stronger every day that you have to pay attention to this.
The man who heads the Climate Reality Project, founded by Al Gore, says rising seas, hotter temperatures, and more extreme weather events are all signs that the changing climate is a reality that the state is experiencing firsthand. As Florida cities wrestle with how to haul millions of tons of post-hurricane debris and where to put it, the environmental community is asking whether the storms will prompt a turning point in the state's reputation for minimizing the issue of climate change. Despite Florida's vulnerability to sea level rise and extreme weather events, state employees are discouraged from using the terms climate change and global warming. But Ken Berlin, who heads up the Climate Reality Project, says the state has gotten the ultimate wake-up call.
You know, the key thing about climate change is you can't hide from it. You may be able to hide from it for a while, but you can't hide from things like Harvey and Irma. And you can sort of for a while say, well, I don't believe it, but the evidence is becoming stronger every day that you have to pay attention to this.
Now he says it's important for Floridians to take steps that show they are paying attention. They can ask policymakers to spend disaster relief dollars on more resilient infrastructure designed to withstand the effects of a warming climate. And Berlin says Florida families can also work to minimize their own impact on the environment. He recommends investing in distributed energy like solar rooftop panels, reducing their household's carbon footprint, and rethinking their insurance coverage. But Berlin says acknowledging the problem is the first step.
What we really say to climate change deniers in this situation is these storms are a tremendous risk to you in Florida and a risk to the whole state of Florida, as is rising sea level, a long-term risk to the state of Florida. And it's critical to take the insurance you need to prevent that from happening.
Researchers at the University of Florida published findings in the journal Geophysical Research Letters that sea levels in parts of South Florida are rising 6 times faster than the global averages. And that was before this year's hurricane season.
Hello. Thank you for calling Senator Rubio's Washington, D.C. office. If you would like to leave a comment about an issue, please press 1. To hear our office hours...
In some political theater, we turn to Florida's governor's race, where former Congresswoman Gwen Graham, a Democrat, decided to call Senator Marco Rubio's office. Just listen in.
Hi, Senator Rubio. This is Gwen Graham in Florida, and I am calling to implore you to please vote against the Graham-Cassidy bill. I could go through all the reasons, but I think you know them. This is bad for the state of Florida. You are a senator representing this state, and I expect that you will do what is right for the people of Florida. So
no one picked up.
All right, well, why don't we try some of his
Maybe
Florida
we can
offices.
Get through to a real person.
Yeah,
that
let's
would be
try.
Nice. And in my office, we always had made sure that real people answer the phone. Let's call Miami.
Okay.
305.
Rubio's spokeswoman was quick on the response via Twitter, calling Graham's move a stunt, saying, quote, "No live answer because staff was out helping over 10,000 people apply for FEMA assistance, not sitting behind a desk waiting for a political stunt." But speaking of healthcare, Florida has done a lot to make sure more children have health insurance. But that progress may be in jeopardy if Congress doesn't act soon. A new report shows the number of children without health insurance in Florida dropped 57% between 2009 and 2016. Report co-author Joan Alker, who heads the Georgetown University Center for Children and Families, she's been on this program a couple of times before, says the progress has come as a direct result of improvements in Medicaid and the Children's Health Insurance Program, or CHIP.
So this was a really positive step forward, but there still are a lot of more steps that need to happen for this to become a reality. And remember, CHIP funding is running out on September 30th, so the clock is ticking.
The U.S. Senate struck a deal that's supposed to provide uninterrupted funding for 5 years, but Congress has yet to act to renew CHIP. Without federal action, Florida could run out of money for CHIP by January 2018 or earlier, according to the report. The federal government and the states have historically shared the costs of the CHIP program, which currently serves more than 340,000 children in Florida. Alker says the possibility that CHIP funding would expire would be a devastating blow to those families.
So Florida has a lot at stake in this CHIP discussion because Florida has one of the largest CHIP programs in the country. For 2017, Florida is receiving $686 million federal dollars for this program. That's the fourth largest in the country.
Nationally, nearly 9 million children receive health insurance through the program. CHIP generally covers children and families with incomes too high to qualify for Medicaid, but too low to afford private insurance. That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Special thanks to Ken Berlin with the Climate Reality Project and Joan Alker with the Georgetown University Center for Children and Families. Remember to follow us at Rotunda Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Also, check us out at rotundapodcast.com, where you can contribute to this program and suggest topics and story ideas. And be sure to join us next week for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gone.